Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online, so you can access it from anywhere in the world. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whenever it's convenient for you. If your therapist isn't the right fit for any reason, you can switch to a new therapist with no additional cost. With BetterHelp, you get the same professionalism and quality you expect from in-office therapy, but with a therapist who is custom picked for you, more scheduling flexibility, and at a more affordable price. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/howtosurvivesociety. That's betterhelp.com/howtosurvivesociety. Hello, survivors. This is your girl, Abby Ayola Williams, and you're now listening to How to Survive Society. How to Survive Society is a weekly podcast that features survivors. These are people that have been through the ringers in life. They've been through hell and back, but they choose to stay positive. They choose to win. They choose to thrive, and they choose to survive. So let's get right into it. Hello, survivors. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of How to Survive Society. Today, I have a very special guest. His name is Chancellor Jackson. Chancellor is an author, educator, coach, and entrepreneur. So we're going to talk about his childhood, his time in China, his books, and more things about his life. So Chancellor, thank you for coming on. And so let's get started. So first, I'm going to ask you about, you know, where you were born, your childhood, and then we'll go into, you know, your adulthood, going to China and your three books and stuff like that. So, yeah. So how was your childhood?
Growing up, I had a pretty sweet childhood. We was raised in, my brother and I, we were raised in a community, one of the oldest Black communities in Smyrna, Georgia, that's still standing to this day. And it's been around since like the 50s, I want to say, probably even before then. And it was a lot of kids in the neighborhood, a lot of kids. So, and we had a playground in the center of the neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? Fields, basketball courts, tennis courts, volleyball pits, playscapes, you know what I'm saying? So we was lit, you know what I'm saying? All the kids come outside. And we'd be out there for hours just playing a lot of football games, riding bikes to different neighborhoods, you know what I'm saying? So we had a pretty awesome childhood, and also got to travel a little bit as well. So that's when I first got my first taste of going across waters. Been to London twice and the Bahamas three times. So we, you know what I'm saying? It was a little childhood. And then we started playing football in middle school. So that just sharpened us, you know what I'm saying, even more. We were always good students. Once we started playing football, that definitely just, you know what I'm saying, made us more disciplined because we had aspirations to play at the college level. And we knew that we couldn't do that if we were shucking and jiving outside of school and in the classroom. So definitely had to make sure our T's were crossed and our I's were dotted. So we played all through our high school and then earned the opportunity to play at the next level down in Florida, at Texas University, where I obtained my bachelor's degree in communication and media studies. After I graduated from Stetson, I landed my first job teaching English to children in China. So that's how I ended up out there. And I was out there for 6 months total. And then things took a turn and I was arrested and served 14 days at one of Beijing's penitentiaries. After I was released, I was immediately deported from the country and came back to America. And it was pretty much back at square one all over again when college football came to an end. I was just at the crossroads rediscovering myself all over. But I knew that I had a lot of great skill sets, especially and experience just from working overseas. I knew that was going to open up doors. So I'm still in education and fell into culture football, started writing 14 Days in Beijing. And you know what I'm saying? Been a lot of opportunities that presented themselves since I released 14 Days and just continuing to run this marathon.
Okay. Well, wow. You just said a whole lot there. So let's unpack some stuff. Okay. So you said you, after you graduated, you went to China to go teach English to Chinese kids, right?
Yeah.
And then you were arrested for what? What were you arrested for?
1.4 grams of cannabis.
Of cannabis. Oh, okay. So were you selling it, or it was for personal use?
Just smoking.
So I'm guessing that's illegal there. Is that why? Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So, all right. So you got arrested. I'm sure it's your first time, obviously, getting arrested in China. So why would they give you 14 days in jail? Why didn't they just arrest you and let you go, and then you come to court to defend yourself? So I'm not sure how the system works there. So can you explain?
Yeah. I mean, I honestly ain't know how the thing worked either. You know what I'm saying? Literally, I'm here to tell you I did 14 days. It's a communist country. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know nothing about China. I'm just out here because these folks didn't offer me an opportunity, and I took it. So now things have hit the fan, and I'm in this situation. I'm like, I can only hold myself accountable, one, because I made a choice. And you know what I'm saying? Now I'm facing the repercussions from that decision. So in regards to how long I'm going to be here, shit, I have no clue, but I got to take it to the chin, however it's going to play out. But nothing was explained to me. Nobody knew I was locked up. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't no judge, no lawyer, none of that. I done went through precinct to precinct doing interrogations, and now I'm in an actual facility with 14 other Chinese men in one cell. We locked for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you know what I'm saying? I have no clue what's going on, how this thing's gonna play out. You know what I'm saying? But like I said before, accountability had to take accountability. So,
but oh my God, that sounds so and if anyone else have gone through that, like that could have broken them, because that's like, because in North America, you know, even if you're caught with like weed, it's not like you get locked up or anything like that, especially for like a small amount. It's like, you know, like you get to, you know, a phone call, people know where you are. And then here you are in a foreign country. No one knew you got arrested. No one told you anything. You just ended up in jail. So how did you get out from one day this situation?
They just called my name to come on. Literally, like, as you read the book, you have no clue what's happening. You learn as you go. So when they like, come on, you're like, oh, damn, for real, me? Oh, wow.
What? Nah, this is insane.
That's what makes the story what it is, though.
Yeah.
It's a mystery.
So would you ever go back to China? Are you even allowed to go back?
My ban expires next year.
Would you go back after that?
It would have to be on the same type of time it was before. Like, it wasn't like I said, I want to land a job in China. I want to live in China. Like, no, I just got an opportunity and I took it. So if it's on that same type of time, absolutely, I would. And I feel like that would bring everything full circle. And I would definitely document it as well. That'd be great content.
Wow. You're better than me, because if that was me, I would have been like, hell no. F you, China. I'm not going.
I mean, but it's like, here I am, American, an American man in a foreign country moving like back home. So who was really tripping? I was. It wasn't like I was wrongfully arrested. I knew the repercussions from what I was doing. And the fact that it played out the way that it did, hey, that's on me.
Wow.
That's on me.
I guess you're right in that sense, but it's just like, man, but I couldn't imagine, like, that's 2 weeks of being locked down.
I mean,
not knowing.
And then, you know? I mean, but we fast forward a whole calendar year. COVID happened. You catch COVID. What happened? What you got to do?
They lock you up.
No, I'm talking about back in America or really across the globe, mainly in America, though. You catch COVID. What they make you do?
Yeah. Isolate yourself.
For how long?
2 weeks. 2 weeks. Come on.
I just got mine beforehand. That's all it was.
Wow. Okay. That makes sense. I mean, I'm proud of you for, you know, not letting that experience be what broke you or whatever, you know, because that's, man, I don't know if I could have went through that.
Most people wouldn't been able to endure with that experience like that. I knew for a fact, I'm like, okay, universe has put me through this for a reason. Mm-hmm. You understand? I know it's something I'm a game, and when it's all said and done, and they know me mentally, I can handle this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They know me. This spirits know me. They know he can handle this, if anything. You know what I'm saying? The average Joe, yeah, it would probably have been quiet for them.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Okay, so now your second book, it's called You Love and You Learn. So can you talk a bit more about that?
It's based on a true story. And I really, all three books are telling one long story. So they're a trilogy. And The Perfect World, You Love, You Learn is the prequel. So it's pretty much book one, but even though it's book two, but it's pretty much a man's first step towards gaining emotional intelligence. So about my experience, my first experience dealing with love, being in a serious relationship, and just pretty much how that experience went for me and how much I learned and grew from that experience. And then Real Love Never Dies. Just, you know what I'm saying? This completes the story, tell how it all played out. And then, of course, touches on what I was doing in China before those 14 days. I get asked that a lot. Like, what was China like before you got locked up? China was absolutely lit. Best experience I've ever had. So it touches on that. And then, of course, what took place once I got back to America? Because people ask me that a lot as well. Like, okay, so once you got back, what did you do? So,
I see. So, what are you doing with yourself now, like in terms of life?
Yeah, I'm still in education as of right now. I coach high school football. Also, life coach to at-risk teens in my county. So, kids that got arrested for drugs, we use 14 days in Beijing as a part of our lesson to pull our life skills from. I got two businesses. I own my own publishing company, which all my books are published through. And I also offer a service coaching aspiring authors out there through the writing and publishing phase. So anybody with an idea or concept for a story and not sure how to go about putting it on paper, I can assist you with that. Or say you've written a whole book but not sure how to go about publishing, I can assist you with that as well. Or if you need help with both, hey, I'm your boy. You know what I'm saying? I also rent cars out. I got a car rental service. What else I do? You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of different hats now. You know what I'm saying? But it took everything that transpired for me to be exactly where I am. So
that's cool. So do you still smoke weed or?
Yeah. You let... The fuck?
Does that mean you didn't learn your lesson?
I should have been smoking in China. That's what it was. That's what it was. I should have been smoking out there.
Oh my goodness. Maybe Universe was trying to tell you to stop smoking. Maybe that's why that happened. Have you ever thought about that?
I did, but it's like, nah, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case. There's no issue with me smoking. There's no issue at all. Because it ain't slowing down or hindering me from doing anything that I need to do. And I wear a lot of different hats right now, so it ain't slowing me down at all.
Okay.
If anything's been fueled and gave me inspiration and gave me allowed me to experience something, and I done took that experience and now I'm running with it. So.
Okay. I respect that. I mean, I've tried, weed one or two times, but it's just something that I never got into. So, but okay. I guess it's all good in that sense. So let's say, because earlier you said that you know your mentor game is strong. So how did you get your mentor game to be that strong? If you have any tips for anyone that doesn't have a strong mental game?
Hey, I play football. That's where my mental toughness came from. So if you ain't really play sports like that, then, hey, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of skill sets you missed out on. But you can achieve those skill sets and probably taking leadership courses or whatever, self-development courses, you know what I'm saying, in that regards. But it was football. Football was my very first love and passion. And I knew I wanted to play college football. I knew I could not do that if my grades weren't intact and my behavior issues were a problem. So
you knew what you wanted from jump. That's what helped you.
For sure. And I knew once football came to an end, whenever I find my football again, whatever endeavor I embark on that is, you know what I'm saying, gives me that same drive that I have in football, is going to be a wrap. Because I put everything I love behind what I do. And I manifest and accomplish a lot.
That's pretty good. That's dope. So you're saying someone should get into games, I mean into sports. And if you're not into sports, then take like leadership skills courses. That's what will help you to build up your mental health game and just have a purpose in life, pretty much. That's what you're saying.
Sports play a role. I mean, everybody is different. You know what I'm saying? Sports ain't for everybody. You know what I'm saying? A lot of folks not really athletic like that. You know what I'm saying? So that might not be your endeavor. It's a lot of different paths you can take. You know what I'm saying? Military. Some people do the military. I'm straight on that. But you know what I'm saying? That's just another option. You know what I'm saying? So you got to find what works best for you. Some people go towards religion. You know what I'm saying? You got to find what works for you.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you for that. So before we do go, like, where can people get your books? And is there any last thing you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yeah. Just Google me, Google Chancellor K. Jackson. Everything you will need as far as my social media accounts, my website, books, all that will pop up just from searching my name. Any aspiring authors out there, visit ChancellorKJackson.com, sign up for a free consultation. We could tap in, see if we're a good fit for each other. And we can make this thing happen. For my non-readers out there, 14 Days in Beijing audiobook is available on SoundCloud, YouTube, Spotify, Anchor, and Apple Podcasts. And I'm narrating it, so it's a vibe. Get your popcorn and wine ready. I just want to leave y'all with this message before we close out. And the message is from Nipsey Hussle. And for those that don't know who Nipsey Hussle was, you can Google him. Mogul, philanthropist, philosopher, serial entrepreneur, well known for his music and his clothing line. And the message is long-winded, running through this life like it was mine. Never settling, but setting every goal high. 1,000 burpees on the path to my own self-destruction or success. But what is a mistake without the lesson? You see, the best teacher of life is your own experience. And none of us know who we are until we fail. They say every person is defined by their reaction to any given situation. Well, who would you want to define you? Someone else or yourself? Whatever you choose to do, get your heart to it. Stay strong.
Wow. That's deep. Thank you for sharing that. And rest in peace, Nipsey, also, you know?
Already, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on to share your story.
I appreciate you for having me. And big shout out to everybody that stayed tuned in for the whole interview. You were a real MVP, no cap.
Thank you. Big thank you to our guest for today. And if you would like to learn more about today's topic, please go on howtosurvivesociety.com. There you can get some life skills courses and some merchandise, and contact me if you would like to be a guest on the show. So thank you so much for tuning in, and have yourself a lovely day. Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and more within minutes of finishing your recording. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great together. So if you ever need help to start your own podcast, reach out to me. And then, you know what you can do also? You know, you can follow the link in the show notes, that lets Buzzsprout know that Hi sent you, so you can get a $20 Amazon gift card when you sign up for a paid plan. And you can also support the show that way. So yeah, so if you're looking to start your own podcast, reach out to me, follow the link under the notes show, and you'll be able to sign up and get a $20 Amazon card.